When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and sponsoring our Labor Day so far, our friends at Madison Firefighters Local 311 and Madison Area Teamsters. All right, joining us now, Kevin Gundlach from the South Central Federation of Labor. He is the president of the South Central Federation of Labor. And I can't remember how many times I've come out and broadcast or this year podcast. It's been quite a few years, and I have a good time every time I come out, Kevin. What's happening this year?
Well, for Labor Fest, September 4th from noon till 5:30 p.m., that's where the date and time, and of course it's at 1602 South Park Street, Madison Labor Temple. So this year, we've got a few new things. First, the bands. We have Natty Nation playing for the first time, and also coming back is Chris Plata with Extra Hot, both very popular with our crowd. And so we're looking forward to some good jams.
So Ted Nugent not making an appearance this year.
What was that?
Ted Nugent not making an appearance.
No, I think he's out. I don't know what he's out doing. Who knows?
Killing something.
Yeah. and then, as usual, we have some magic shows for the kids, Bounce House, face painting, caricature artist, which we started last year, and then, of course, balloons. The other thing that's – well, I won't end with that, actually. The other thing that we have for a special Labor Day collection is to help our students who are homeless in the Madison School District. It's called the Transition Education Program, and we're specifically asking for some things that we all take for granted for these homeless children, like deodorant, small bottles of laundry detergent, liquid body wash, shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrushes, hand body lotion, and even food gift cards. That comes from the teachers and the social workers who have given us feedback, and those are some really important people and children in our community that need those basic items. So that's what we're doing for the Special Labor Day Collection. Now, the other thing that we've got going on for Labor Day is we will be raffling off a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, a trike, and a matching trailer. And that was because it's in honor of a plumber who recently passed away. He was on our exec board, Elliot Copan, Plumbers Local 75, really great guy. And I would like to say thanks to Carol Copan for her generous donation, the widow of Elliot. And the proceeds are going to go to help build a workers' memorial and stage on the grounds here, as well as the cancer research for the cancer that he succumbed to, and then a children's hospital. So, and those tickets can be gotten, you know, on our website, scfl.org, or just come on in to our office in room 228. Or they can get them on, we'll have it there. The trike and trailer will be at Labor Fest, where people can see if they can be the lucky winner. And we're only selling up to a certain amount of tickets, so you have a pretty good chance.
Will you be able to buy a ticket at the...
Yeah, at Labor Fest. We'll have tickets available at Labor Fest. They will be at the scuffle table. We will have a big banner that says raffle tickets. We'll also have the scuffle banner. We'll be under the scuffle tent, which, by the way, is something else new this year, which is kind of exciting. The workers that work at the VA hospital have decided to bring back and get involved with a veterans committee and work on issues that are important to veterans, their families, and our community as well, and work with the community on other projects. So they're going to be under our tent as well, and that's the Scuffle Veterans Committee that's starting up. So that's exciting news too. So we've got all sorts of things going on for Labor Fest, some good events, as well as a chance to win a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, all union made, and support some good causes.
So for someone that has never come out to this event, can you kind of explain the point of the whole thing? Obviously, it's Labor Day. It's to celebrate Labor Day. But what else?
Well, I mean, I think it's also, you know, it's obviously to celebrate workers and their contributions, unions and their contributions, the labor movement and their contributions from history as well as today and recently. And it's also get to know one another. both union and non-union alike. Obviously, union members show up, and it's a day of a day off to celebrate that, something that the unions fought for. We as union members and as unions historically and today fought for and currently fight for, you know, basic working conditions and better wages and benefits, good paying jobs and careers, as well as having the weekend off to appreciate and enjoy with our loved ones and our friends and family, and in this case, the holidays, including Labor Day.
When was the Labor Temple built?
You know, that is a good question, and I think that's been asked to me before, and I don't know.
Well, looking at the building, it was either late 50s or early 60s, and I was just reading a statistic, and in the height of the union movement, labor movement, there were roughly one-third of Americans that were in a labor union. And we're down to 10.7% because, unfortunately, the corporate forces that have grabbed so much power in this country have been making it impossible for people to organize.
Yeah, they've definitely been putting up a ton of barriers. They're trying to destroy labor, and there's a reason for that. And I'm going to give some statistics that come out of the Department of Labor. So these are actual facts, not made up. And here's what folks who aren't in unions or sometimes in unions aren't really aware of. We want a progressive country. We want to stand up for freedom and equality and justice. And the average person does want that. They want a good life. They want a good paying job. And when you have legislation that's out there that's supportive of those things that we all want, like, let's give some examples. New York State, California, state of California, overall, they're considered more progressive with better legislation and better things. And I'll go to other countries. Denmark, very progressive country. The people are happy there. The happiness level is rated very high. They have good health care, good education, et cetera, et cetera. And people aren't struggling as much. And I could go through the countries.
They have time to relax naked in the sauna.
And here's something interesting. Those states and those countries have very high union density. The state of New York has the highest union density at 25%+. The state with the worst union density is South Carolina at 0.5% or somewhere around there. The states that are the states that are progressive have high union density. The states that are not have low union density. And the states that see their rights being whittled away are currently losing a little bit and have been hurt. Those are the Midwest states. Those are the ones that the Koch brothers and the incredibly wealthy people attacked and wanted to diminish and reduce the unions so that they could go after those other progressive ideals that we all benefit from and that we all cherish so dearly.
That would be Ohio, Indiana,
yes,
Wisconsin,
yes.
Michigan, and Iowa.
Yep.
And
they're going after Missouri, too.
And Missouri, too. And our late friend Jerry Tucker did so much to keep right-to-work legislation out of that state 40 years ago, and unfortunately, you know, now they have it.
And there's a fight back, though. There is a fight back, and there is actually going to be a fight back with Missouri, and hopefully that will go the right way. But I think it's important to realize that the progressive who's not in a union that cares about women's rights, that cares about being treated equally and getting fair pay for the work done, the equal pay for equal work done, and to not have homophobia run rampant at the workplace and in our society, and to be against racism and classism and so forth, and those types of things don't occur as much, and laws are put into place that protect us against those isms when union density is high. And I think there's connecting the dots and figuring out why is that is important for people to know, especially as we come to Labor Day and celebrate labor, that we need to celebrate Labor Day and all these things, but we need to know why labor is important and why working with labor and becoming a union member betters our communities.
Yeah, Kevin Gundlach with us. He is the president of the South Central Federation of Labor, which includes Dane County and surrounding counties like Greene and Rock and Iowa and Columbia and Sauk. And boy, you actually go
So we don't have Rock.
Oh, you don't have Rock.
They have their own label.
They have their own. That's right.
But we all work with each other. We have Sauk Columbia, Jefferson Dodge, Green, Richland Marquette, and Iowa Lafayette. So there's, and then of course Dane. So it's and Grant. So there's 11 of us.
That is a big area.
Yeah, well, when I first got in about 6+ years ago, there were 6 counties. And we realized there were other counties that were nearby us, a little further away, that had they weren't working with any labor council. So we contacted other labor councils and the Wisconsin State FL-CIO and said, look, we're willing to go out there in those other areas and work with those workers and organized and unorganized and work with the community and let's get going. And so that was approved, and it was and our delegates voted overwhelmingly to do that. And because of that, we have made some changes, positive changes at a local level, especially electorally, but also setting up some roundtables with union and community allies on those so that they can strategize locally at a grassroots level and not only win some elections at a local level, which we have, we've won in Tea Party land, by the way, where places 70% voted for Trump, we've won with 70% of the vote at a local level. But we've also made some differences by forming these alliances and relationships and building on that.
All right, we'll talk more about that. We'll talk about what has happened since the last time we had Labor Fest in 2016. Kevin Gundlach with us at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, and of course our Labor Day broadcast brought to you by the Madison Firefighters Local 311 and the Teamsters.
You have a broken guitar? Don't fret. Take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson to Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We'll have you fretting your guitar in no time at all. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, we love guitars.
We're back at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, the Madison Firefighters, and the Teamsters as we celebrate Labor Day 2017, 1602 South Park Street in Madison, starting at noon. Goes to 5:30. I suspect some people linger just a little bit longer, but I'm not going to be quite as tied to my table. By the way, I need a table and a couple chairs, Kevin.
You have a table. You have a couple chairs. We already, you're going to be at the traditional spot.
Okay.
So, yep.
So, you know, in years past, I was a little more tied to the table because it was a live broadcast. But this year, I'll be doing a variety of interviews and then podcasting them. So if you can't get out to Labor Fest, you'll be able to catch it here at sliceoffice.com. So, you know, I'm not going to bring up the candidate's name. I don't want to put you on the spot. But, a candidate that got into the race for governor this week, the Journal Sentinel sort of summarized his positions on labor issues as he downplayed Act 10, or, you know, repealing Act 10, and didn't think much of raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, Kevin, how much longer is it going to take for people to realize that the issue is wages, period?
Well, obviously, we support raising the minimum wage to 15 and then, of course, having it go up each year when inflation goes up. And obviously, we support reversing Act 10 and right to work and bringing back prevailing wage and bringing back project labor agreements, and I could just go on and on and on. So those, and for those people who are coming out and taking stances on those issues, they will have to be in front of labor when they get interviewed. And so we will be asking those questions and having those conversations as we move forward. I have to tell you, I have not read the papers this week because we have been working on so many projects and getting ready for Labor Fest, as well as many, 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 many other things that I have not been thinking about the governor's race this
well,
week.
Well, here's, so, you know, I watch people's comments on Facebook. They say, well, you know, this candidate is just being pragmatic. There's a Republican legislature. The least we can expect from candidates who want union support and labor support and worker support, whether you're in a labor union or not, is to actually give a voice to these issues.
Yes, of course. And I think what people, and I know we've talked about this before, and I know others have with you and with myself, but one thing about reversing Act 10 or obviously increasing wages will help any community, and we can easily argue that in any form. But when it comes to Act 10, I think people have this misperception about what Act 10 actually did, not just to workers, which of course we are very concerned about, but how that also trickled down or trickled or was directly related to the community at large. And when I said earlier about bettering our communities, obviously I can talk about all the job training and bringing in good paying jobs and other things that labor unions are doing and doing very creatively, but and advocating for that livable wage to be at 15 as a starting wage. But there's also other things that need to be said about Act 10 and what bettering our communities means. And to better our communities, we have to reverse Act 10. And there are reasons why. Here, when I was working for government, and then I left and moved into this position after Act 10 had been implemented, we had bargained in. And remember, Act 10 is taking away all bargaining rights except being able to bargain over a little bit of wages. And so that meant no more safety committees could we bargain in to protect the public on safety issues. No more insurance advisory committees could we be on, at least that we could say, yes, we're going to be on this, period. It was up to the employer whether we're going to be on these things now. No longer could we save the taxpayers, and I'm not exaggerating, in Dane County alone, millions of dollars because we forced the insurance companies to actually compete with one another, and that gouged the taxpayer, or for that matter, the workers. No longer could we be on any committees, anything to do with that would have to do with transparency, which, by the way, I think most people advocate for, regardless of their political affiliation. No longer could we have any committees that dealt with basically nothing. We had no rights. Those were all legally taken away from. Now, I'm not saying we don't have rights that we fight for outside of the legal realm, but legally Act 10 took away all of those things. So this was not just about the money, which it was about the money for Walker, but he wanted to disempower the unions so that he could make the state less progressive and work on the benefit of the people that were similar to the Koch brothers and, for that matter, Trump. So people like that. And so when they did this, they took away tons of other rights that now does not allow those workers to do their jobs in government.
Well, and here's a prime example. I heard it on the news today. The Wisconsin Veterans Home in King, which at one time was a stellar facility. And it of course, was built to take care of Civil War veterans, and it is uniquely Wisconsin. It's in a beautiful setting in Wapaka, or next to Wapaka in King. They can't keep workers. They can't keep workers because the working conditions are bad. The workers don't have a voice. They can't pay them.
Sure.
These are our veterans. My mother's my mother's cousin is there. Bless his heart. You know, these are our most sacred citizens.
Well, and what's interesting is that's happening throughout Wisconsin, unless, you know, probably not as much in Madison or Dane County where we have elected officials at a local level that work with us a little better and work with unions a little better and understand the issues by communicating with workers and respecting their rights. And you can say that about a few other places in Wisconsin. But there's definitely more tension. There's definitely, even in this area, there's definitely more misunderstandings. There's definitely more retaliation, especially not in our area, in other areas, where there's a huge conservative bent to things on their school boards and their city councils and county boards. And so, of course, the tactics have had to change. The communication has had to change. But with all that, the stress level is much higher and the morale is worse. And then when you say we're going to also, besides that, take away your power to actually do your job as well as you should have been able to do it, we're going to take away decision making. We're going to tell you what to do. It's going to be authoritative. And then if you stand up and try to do your job, we're going to retaliate, and you could even be terminated because screw you. That's what they're saying to those workers. Then what do you expect? They're going to look for – they've worked hard their whole life. They've been committed to this, to their career and to the state of Wisconsin and to their community, and now they're being spit on. And so, yeah, they're going to leave, some of them. Some of them are going to take off and look for greener pastures. The problem with all that, the problem with that is now – with a president that is even certainly as bad as our governor, and maybe crazier, who knows, this is going to be, they're going to try to attempt to do the same thing nationally, and they are. I mean, whether they can succeed or not with the craziness at that level, I don't know, but they're certainly going to try. And so when you, and then it goes kaput in these other states, which we think are safe for workers and for community members and for the things that we value and cherish. So, you know, there's going to be they obviously have created something that's this model that's brought instability to our communities and a lack of respect. And of course, the old divide and conquer tactics have succeeded on their end, but it's also created a lot of problems for the average person, regardless where you live in the state of Wisconsin.
All right, tell us about some of the things that South Central Federation of Labor has been able to do, even in these awful circumstances, over the last year.
Good. I'm glad you asked, because it's not all gloom and doom. There's actually a lot of positive things. And here are some. I'm going to start with what workers are doing. So you have workers who demanded $15 an hour for the school district employees here in Madison. They had it for employees for Dane County and the city of Madison, but not for the school district, and that was recently achieved. We had a worker on her own, a nurse, who really was concerned with the attacks on the potential attacks on healthcare at the presidential level, and there were these folks that were creating rallies all over. This worker took it upon herself with some assistance. But she basically organized the rally on her own right here on the Labor Temple grounds. And a lot of people showed up, and a lot of people were able to be a part of that rally and communicate effectively with what she did. And so workers are actually working with their unions, with the support of their unions, and they're becoming leaders themselves. And I just wanted to start with that for this to work and grow, don't be afraid to come up with an idea and contact our office, and we'll support you with some of those things when it comes to workers' rights. Another thing is when it comes to the veterans, AFGE, the local that represents the workers at the VA, they just held a panel for a TV show to get on TV to get out there. But they also worked with their international, but they're doing the grunt work to let people know how bad this budget is coming up nationally with Trump's budget, and to resist it and to contact their legislators. And this local did this on their own with the assistance of our labor council. And then there's a few other things. We've had town hall forums with, for example, Mark Pocan, and hosted that. We've done fundraisers for Interfaith Coalition. We're going to do one for Interfaith Coalition for Worker Justice, and also promoted one for the Workers' Rights Center that works with workers who are not union, and they're moving into the Labor Temple, I think, which is very exciting for all of us. We've continued our scuffle scholarships, our South Central Federation Labor scholarships, and gotten those out to children who, so they can get to whether it be Madison College or UW system or whatnot. And even our Union Labor News has grown. Our little newspaper has actually grown since then. And
a lot of those papers have disappeared.
Yeah, while the other newspapers have disappeared, ours has actually grown, and we expect even further growth, a lot more growth next year. And we've got some young people that are writing articles for us too. And then we're working with WRT Big Step, which is the organization that helps people get ready to get into apprenticeship programs with the building trades, and that stands for Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership. And it's a partnership that works with nonprofits and others. So even if you're not skilled at a trade, they get you ready so that it's pre-apprenticeship training, so that even wherever you are to want to become, an electrician that makes a good living, even if you're not ready, we'll get you ready so that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And that one's been very successful. And the result of that program actually is diversifying the trades. More people of color and women are in the trades. And the last training, big training thing they had for the school children, there were many people of color and women that were the trainers themselves. So I'd say that's it was a change that I noticed this year, and I'm proud to say that for those unions. Another thing that we've got is we started doing these workshops for internal organizing. And internal organizing, basically, for those who don't know, it's organizing in the workshop that is already a union shop, already a union place to work. And so it's organizing those workers so that they get active within their union, and they sign up in a right-to-work state and get active and do things. And so we did some building workplace power workshops, and then those were well attended, and people were sharing best practices at the rank and file level. And then from there, we're going to work and continue to work with the school for workers in terms of what are the next steps when it comes to stewardship training. And I could go on. We also have there's this Union Sportsmen's Alliance for hunters and fishermen that are responsible. And what they do is they do these fundraisers once a year, a dinner, and they started this a few years ago, but they're doing it again this year. And they're actually going back to communities like Horicon. The Horicon gazebo and the boardwalk there for the bird lovers and the nature lovers that really appreciate that, that was built and renovated by the building trades through the funds through this Union Sportsman's Alliance. And so they also have built some endangered species houses for some birds that are rare, and they're doing stuff because they know that people believe in that. And that's good. That's finding common ground, and that's moving forward and doing some positive things. There's been statements come out from the Wisconsin AFL-CIO in regards to Foxconn, and the national AFL-CIO in response to what happened in Charlottesville. And we certainly promoted both of those responses because we were proud that the labor stood on the good side on those issues. And we also have got probably 20 other things going on.
Well, you know, the
worker-owned co-ops that we're working with the city on that and so forth and so on.
Well, the truth is that if Foxconn really wanted to be a responsible employer and the Republicans really wanted to hold them to some standards for the workers, they would have voted for Christine Sinicki's bill that would have had a wage floor, right?
That's 100% correct, and that's what will be on our special Labor Day edition on the front page, some of the things that labor demands when Foxconn or anyone else comes into this state.
You know, that the Milwaukee Bucks agreed to some remarkable things supporting workers.
Yeah, that's right. And every company that comes here that makes these promises needs to not agree on paper, signed, sealed, and delivered, that this is not just going to be taxpayer money getting thrown to them without any, and I'm going to say this is a word I used before, transparency and accountability. So while they're taking away public sector workers the ability to have some for there to be transparency in government for workers through their unions to demand that there be transparency and so they can do their job and do it right, they also don't want transparency and accountability apparently for any private sector contracts that government, our taxpayer money, is going towards.
Kevin Gundlach, once again, just give us a summation. Labor Fest, when, where, time.
Well, it's on Labor Day, of course.
Which is September 4th.
Which is September 4th, noon to 5:30 p.m. At the Madison Labor Temple here at 1602 South Park Street. The activities, again, we've got plenty of stuff for the kids. We've got magic shows, bounce house, face painting, balloons, caricature artists again. So that would be fun to see you in there with a caricature artist, Sly. We'll also have two bands, one at 12 p.m., which is Chris Plata and with Extra Hot, and the next one at 3 p.m., Natty Nation. One thing I forgot to tell you is in between the bands at approximately, say, 2 o'clock, we'll have a solidarity roll call, and that's open to all unions and organizations to come up on stage, briefly say in a sentence or two, you know, who you are, what you represent, what you stand for, maybe three sentences, and then, you know, if you want to say something like solidarity or whatnot, and then afterwards, all those individuals will sing Solidarity Forever. The whole crowd, of course, jumps in with that as well. That's at 2. Outside of that, also for Labor Day, we really encourage people to bring something for the homeless children in the Madison School District. There are hundreds of them, and they just simply need things like deodorant, little bottles of detergent, shampoo, toothpaste, things like that, liquid body wash, et cetera. Even a food gift card if you don't have one of those items. And then finally, for Labor Fest, for the first time, we will be raffling off a Harley Davidson trike and trailer motorcycle. It is in honor of Elliot Copan, someone who succumbed to cancer. He was an exec board member of Scuffle, and he was just a great, gentle soul and advocate for all working people. So the widow donated that bike to us, and we're raffling it off for $20, and all the proceeds go to a workers memorial or research for the cancer that Elliot succumbed to, as well as a children's hospital.
Kevin Gundlach, president of the South Central Federation of Labor in Wisconsin, thanks for coming to Sly'sOffice.com.
Thank you, Sly, for having me, and we will see you at Labor Day. Solidarity.
Solidarity.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day in mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.